Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the heart of a financial topic, very financially oriented, very much an investment topic. I know sometimes the subjects may be a stretch, but still financially related. But this one, boy, it's, as we say here in the South, smack dab in the middle of the investment world. And it is the subject of, well, a subset of the subject of technology. But it is this new thing, one of them newfangled things called a robo-advisor. What is it and how does it work? And so this is something that's been evolving, as with so many other parts of our society, has been affected by advances in technology. So today, now being offered in some circles, in some areas more popular than others, but there is starting to be the use either by itself or in conjunction with a real live human advisor, the use of robots. Robo-advisors are called. They're programs that will give advice about based on somebody's individual situation. So the investment community, of course, is easing into this, and it is a new thing, and advisors are reacting in different ways. So we're very fortunate. Beth, our radio producer here, has been able to bring in somebody who's been following this development, and he is the managing editor for Source Media, the investment advisor group, and his name is Sulman Den, and the website for today's program, reinventwealth.com, that's part of Financial Planning Magazine, and Sulman is the managing editor for Source Media, this investment advisory group, which includes financial planning. And he has been previously an editor over at Knowledge at Wharton, the business school's online business journal, and also has reported for a number of publications in his career. And we're very pleased that he's taken some time to be with us. Sulman, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Appreciate being here.
You're very welcome, and I'm glad you could make some time for us. So let's start with kind of the basics. Are we talking about Kilroy here, you know, heart is human, brain is IBM, blood is boiling, you know? I mean, what for the folks out there that aren't familiar with this concept of robo-advisors, what is it? Give us kind of the basics, and then we'll get into some of the more, you know, involved aspects of this.
Yeah, it's funny, David, that you should go with that science fiction sort of idea that, in fact, is what a lot of people kind of reach out to sort of try and illustrate or at least grasp the concept. Usually, you know, but unfortunately, it's something more and more sinister, like Rise of the Machines and Terminator.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, it's much more simple and actually not even in any ways threatening, at least the technology itself. I mean, robo advisors in some ways is a misnomer because there's no actual robot.
Right. It's a program,
you know,
right?
Asking you to, you know, feed you your data.
Right.
What it is, in fact, it's a software. So it's software driven investment platforms, and these and the software that drives them are actually what a lot of industries are now using to automate a lot of form based entry. So, you know, you actually are already using this type of algorithm-driven software to do a whole bunch of things. The most, I think, common example of that, I think, would be when you go look for a ticket these days. You go to any number of these websites that offer sort of, you know, lowest price deals or whatnot.
Right.
They're all employing what we all, or if you've studied math a little bit, you know, algorithm-driven software, where they're just taking in sort of, you know, different data points as variables and then computing results based on what they're told. So in the simplest way that you could kind of understand a robo-advisor, what it's basically asking you is to, in that sense, it's replacing the traditional, that form-filling sort of portion of when you first initially sit down with an advisor and he'll go through all your paperwork and sort of statements and, you know, get all that necessary information to at least start building up sort of a financial, you know, scope and plan for your finances. So essentially, you're removing the human from that part and putting software in a place where it just will just you'll input all that information, and you know, based on that information, it'll start presenting what it has calculated as recommendations. And these recommendations, of course, are also programmed, and they're adjusted based on, you know, sort of parameters that the programmers have set regarding sort of risk tolerance, the types of securities and sort of financial instruments that you would be using in a portfolio. So, in very basic terms, David, it's just software that removes the mundane aspect of gathering up information to create at least portfolio recommendations.
Yeah, I tell you what, there's another analogy. I got several for you, Suleman. The first thing that pops into my head is I recently got my eyes examined, and they put you into this machine now that they didn't have 20 years ago, where it's kind of looking into like a viewfinder, and the computer adjusts and kind of recalibrates and comes up with an initial set of what they think the prescription should be. Then, of course, thankfully, the eye doctor then looks at that and does his own evaluation. So that's a very similar thing that some of this basic robotic, and I know we're using that word incorrectly, but you know, the program, the software is doing some of these initial assessments and saying, okay, here it is. Now, the big thing, of course, is human judgment. And, the artificial intelligence, of course, is not here yet where it can step in and take the place of an advisor. But, you know, it's interesting, Suleman, when you think about where all this is headed, as you were describing, the fact that there's no robot that's sitting down in front of somebody. You know what? I can see 30 years from now, maybe it's 50, but the Japanese have taken robotics and the lifelike appearance of robotics to a whole nother level. And can you imagine if you go to the bank and then you've got a really lifelike robot that's been infused with the software that you just described, with a more interface that allows it to communicate and say, how can I help you today? And the teller is now a robot.
You know, I'm going to scare you here, but in fact, someone already in Japan has already started doing that.
How about that? So how about that?
There is a financial institution that has actually paired up with, of all things, Big Blue from IBM.
Oh boy!
To actually power its financial advice.
How about
that? To actually give it an AI edge.
There you go.
So these things are not as far-fetched, in fact, as you can even conceive them to be. People are already putting them into practice. And even from the discussions that I've been having with folks, there are a number of different sort of initiatives within the financial industry to automate all sorts of things. Hedge funds are putting a lot of money into automating document reading. Which you still need a human to sort of, any computer can just scan and reproduce text. The human ability is to look at that text, read it, and then say, aha, to just analyze, and to actually say, this is the value in this sort of statement here. Here's something I need to pull, right? That's what we have analysts for. Mm. So hedge funds are actually spending a lot of money to actually automate that process. And so there's the sentiment understanding and almost near sentiment for a computer to be able to not only read text, but to be able to get the gist of it.
Exactly.
So we're talking automation as advanced as that. And then, we're getting a bit of ahead of ourselves here, but that's sort of at the far edges, sort of the cutting edge, if you will. But, artificial intelligence in investment advising is not a foreign concept. In fact, there are people who are actively researching it. And so, as I mentioned, there's at least one Japanese institution that is paired with the biggest name out there. So sort of, get the ball rolling, if you will, or the cog, turning, to use the machine.
Well, I tell you what, Suleman, I'll issue the challenge on this interview that Big Blue, I know, has played Jeopardy, has played chess. If Big Blue would like to play a match of financial advice with me, bring it on. There's the challenge. Bring it on, Big Blue. So if you're just joining us, Suleman Din is giving us an update on this new thing that is, of course, accelerating as technology does quicker and quicker. And it's this new thing of robo-advising. And you can look at more resources over at reinventwealth.com And Suhlman is managing editor for Source Media's Investment Advisory Group. We're very pleased to have him with us. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back, and you know we're going to dig a little deeper. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. The YMCA has 6 locations to help you and your family reach their health and fitness goals. The WISE childcare programs provide a safe and nurturing environment. So whether it's Kids Zone while you're working out, after school enrichment programs, kids fitness programs, or Camp Winona Resident Camp, the Y is a safe place for your child. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
And we are back. Suhlman Den on the line, managing editor for Source Media's Investment Advisory Group, reinventwealth.com. Ironically, we're talking a little bit about some of the attempts in the industry to reinvent wealth or investment management or advice and all of those things. And we've introduced the idea of what this robo-advisor thing's all about. You know, I'd like to kind of digress, and maybe you can indulge me a little bit here, Suhlman. I tell you that a lot of, and I know you know this, and for the people out there listening, you know, a lot of advisors like myself and my firm, you know, we are already using some of these quote-unquote software packages that are out there to have them do exactly what you referred to as some of these mundane or repetitive or some of the tasks that would just be very difficult to do without it. For example, you know, there's not a week that goes by where I don't give 2 or 3 second opinions about what people have. They come in, they bring their information in, like you described, there's forms. We have them bring their statements for their existing investments. And then it would be extraordinarily difficult and costly for us to sit down, take all those statements, and have to manually figure out what people own, you know, what percentages they have in different stocks or mutual funds and all of that. So we use Morningstar. Morningstar software lets us go in and kind of do, they have kind of a robo-advisor. It's not really advising, but it is taking all that data. And I'm able to show somebody, look, you've got 35% in technology stocks. Did you know that? No, I didn't know, because it's spread out over 6 accounts. So those tools are already in play. And so I guess what I'm really trying to say is that, you know, this the advent of the software becoming more part of the process of advising clients shouldn't be a threat to any advisor out there who's actually adding value.
Yeah, and David, I think that the emphasis on the technology sort of, you know, it kind of blurs sort of the real sort of concern I think that people have. I mean, it's not that technology in and of itself is a bad thing. I think that, you know, anybody just takes a look at the last 150 years of economic growth. I mean, technology is what spurs further and better economic growth.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Everybody, I guess, understands that technology can only be a good thing. It's that process of implementing technology, and there's always a winner and a loser in sort of that transition. That scares people because they've seen, you know, financial planners. I mean, you know, we've seen other industries where transformation due to digital processes being introduced creates, you know, situations for some people where it just becomes untenable for them to remain in business or stay competitive, and others, you know, to advance and sort of swallow up, you know, sort of opportunities. So I think that's that sort of fear about what the potential that this technology can unlock and who's going to actually take ownership of that potential is really what, you know, the industry is really concerned about. And I think how that has come about is that because a number of these digital first firms, so these are firms that are not traditional, they don't really have brick and mortar offices. In fact, you know, some of them, you know, are just, you know, very, very new to the industry, only a couple of years old. And they've sort of have come out with this promise of being able to reach people that traditional advisors and traditional advisory firms have neglected. That is sort of this large portion of the American population that either, you know, that didn't have the assets, you know, they weren't high net worth, they weren't really, you know, of that appealing, you know, economic range for that it would make business sense for a traditional firm to go after. So these digital first firms said, yeah, this is our opportunity. This is the market that we're going to go after, and we're going to go after them with using this technology to propel us, because we won't have the traditional expenses,
right, right.
You know, that we need to that traditional firms have operated with, and we'll also offer our products at, you know, at a minimal cost compared to what traditional firms have offered, you know, without any sort of account minimums or without sort of these high wealth, you know, ceilings that you'd need to be a traditional wealth client. And so opening that window up and saying, this is the pool that we're going to get into, and, you know, moving in first and having exponential growth. I mean, they haven't grown, they've been growing very large, even though, you know, they represent, you know, just a sliver of the actual overall investment pie. But right. Because they've been able to go in first and scale up so quickly, you know, that movement just sort of really, you know, scared a lot of people in the traditional industry to say, wow, we never, who traditionally have ignored that segment of the market,
right.
And then, you know, are suddenly caught wondering, you know, boy, should we be paying attention to this, and should we be making move on this, you know, or, you know, or are these guys going to eat our lunch before we even get a chance to sit down?
Yeah, interesting. Well, I mean, that is the nature of disruption, and sometimes, you know, evolution ain't pretty, and sometimes it comes in big leaps, and, you know, this is something that, of course, will, even if it doesn't directly compete against some of the more traditional versions of, you know, advisory services being provided to people, it certainly will shape the overall industry over the next 10, 20, 30 years and ongoing. And, you know, there are a lot of spin-off aspects to this. And, you know, right now, of course, as you know, Suleman, there's a ongoing, which has been going on for decades, ongoing debate about, you know, the role of the advisor, their responsibilities,
right.
which advisors are held to different standards, you know, who is going to be required to put the investor first in their dealings, who doesn't have to, who chooses to, all of that will be affected. And I'd like to dig into that a little bit if we can. So let's grab a break. We'll come back and talk further with Suleman Den, Managing Editor for Source Media's Investment Advisory Group. Website again is reinventwealth.com. A lot of great information over there on that website. Right back after this quick break.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick 3 CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. Suleman Den on the line with us, Managing Editor for Source Media's Investment Advisory Group. ReinventWealth.com is the website for lots of more good information, and we've talked a little bit about some of the articles that Suleman has written, and you'll find a lot more over at that website, reinventwealth.com. And, you know, I kind of set it up there before the break, Suleman, this whole concept of the fiduciary standard, you know, which is some advisors are required to be at that level of placing the interest of the client first. And some are not. Some are not. Some only simply need to be at a suitable, what they call suitability standard. And I know you're all over that.
Right.
But there is now, which is a very ironic, because, you know, the expectation when you start thinking about anything that is computerized, you know, a robot, something that's supposed to be dispassionate, something that's supposed to be as objective as they come, you know, that is imbued with Asimov's 3 laws of robotics, that all of that is inherently built in to do no harm to the human. But, you know, danger, Will Robinson, danger, because some of these robo-advisors aren't necessarily dispensing objective and fiduciary advice, are they?
Well, it is something that it's interesting. This is a novel argument that's been put forward by Federated Investors, so one of the larger asset managers in the country. You know, really questioning, you know, or at least throwing questions out there,
right,
regarding robo advice. And really asking, what it did was it really asked regulators if they had in fact looked at, you know, the fiduciary responsibilities that robo-advice entails. And you can go online to the article. There's a couple of articles that have been done about this. But basically, the report, in a nutshell, touches upon a couple of points here that it feels that it felt were worth highlighting, at least, should be up for consideration by regulators. And that, you know, first of all, because of that automated process that we talked about at the beginning, that because of that process that, you know, these platforms, you know, have to interact with potential clients with, that they don't, in result, provide personalized investment advice. And they're not, because these are form driven, they're not taking in people's personal considerations, some of the recommendations, even though two clients may be sort of with vastly different financial sort of needs or concerns. You know, through this form process, it kind of really distills them down, and they almost get a similar recommendation. Mm-hmm. So because of that, they're not providing personalized investment advice. They're not also, these robos, the paper suggested, do not actually minimize investment costs, that, you know, there's a lot of fees that are not as transparent, even though a lot of these robo providers say they're transparent,
right.
So that there's also conflicts of interest. And they're not acting, you know, in a client's best interest, again, because of this whole automated process that they're going through. They're not taking in a person's individual concerns, because it's a computer. It's not a person. It's not going to sympathize with you in one thing or another. It's asking you for just cold card numbers in order to throw into the formula and generate, you know, sort of results for you. So that was sort of in what political terms we would call a trial balloon. That this paper, which actually didn't get a lot of publicity when it actually didn't get any publicity when it first got out there, and when I found out about the paper and I called its sponsors, Federated, they didn't even want to talk about it.
Really?
So it was very, very odd that, you know, here's this very controversial idea that they're floating, that in fact, because of all of these things, they're not actually within or not conforming to investment law, but they didn't really want to take ownership of the paper.
They just want the issue out there.
Thankfully, I did get to speak to the author,
yeah,
who was pretty frank about it and described some of the motivations behind the paper. But it's very interesting then, just this past week, the SEC Commissioner Kara Stein had made very public comments, you know, questioning whether fiduciary duty actually applies to automated advice, and going on to say that, noting that the concept didn't even exist when most of these laws applicable to investment advisors were drafted. And so, you know, the commission is now challenged with thinking through what it actually means to regulate a robo-advisor.
Yeah.
So that sort of really puts an interesting kink on the whole debate.
Yeah.
You know, what was supposed to be originally an academic exercise has now sort of moved into the actual concern, or at least active concern, of the regulators themselves.
Well, and you know, if I boil it all down, just kind of the way I would try to capture and take that in, Suhlman, is that, you know, it's really the robo advisor is only going to be as good, and now maybe Big Blue will help us with this, but, you know, mm-hmm. only going to be as good as the programming. And if it's programmed to have a certain set of recommendations based on the parameters that are given, and that programming itself does not achieve the things that give rise to the achievement of the fiduciary standard, then it's not going to do it, and it's not going to, you know, it's again kind of a modern, more sophisticated garbage in, garbage out. You know, if the software is built a certain way, and so maybe there will be a three laws of robo advisors, which would be, maybe that's the subject of a great article you could write. Three laws,
you know,
of
there
robo
is some
advisors.
Precedent. It's interesting. This in the original article that I wrote, if you're familiar with Folio, the online broker dealer, it's actually run by a former SEC commissioner, Steve Wallman, and this similar argument was actually brought up by the Investment Company Institute in the early 2000s against his company early on. You know, online brokerages, and, you know, basically the same sort of, I guess, fears or premise was brought you know, toward was brought, you know, the same sort of objections were brought up against Folio. And eventually, though, they were ultimately dismissed by the SEC. And it was, you know, I mean, this is a former commissioner. I mean, no disrespect to the current commissioner, but the former commissioner, you know, was pretty, you know, in my discussion with him, he was pretty clear that, you know, trying to put, say, for instance, the 40 Act to robos was kind of was misguided, and that, you know, they were, you know, these robos as investment advisors, they were always conceived to be, you know, registered investment companies, and they were not, they were not intended to be, they were not anything to be other than just advisory. So, you know, trying to apply different laws or existing laws, you know, to robos might not be accurate. But the most recent comments from Commissioner Stein suggest that, you know, the regulators at least acknowledge that, you know, they need to catch up and sort of look at robos and sort of take a step back and say, hey, you know, do the laws on the books actually apply to them right now? Or are there arguments out there, like what you're suggesting, David, that, you know, aren't being really covered by what's on the books right now? And so do we need to, in fact, examine and expand if need be? So, again, it's very early stages, and I think that anybody who sort of makes an argument for and against will definitely find, you know, opposing counsel in court. This doesn't seem like, if there, anybody who puts a challenge, I'm sure it will be litigated to no end, because there is still, you know, lots of money out there. I mean, just if you look at sort of the robo advisory platforms, what they've been able to generate, what? Betterment just passed, I believe, $3 billion in a couple of years that it's been around, even though it's pretty new. Vanguard and Schwab, they've already crossed these $4 billion marks in terms of assets in only a couple of months since they've turned on the switch on their robo-advisors. So they're very new, but they are generating assets under management really quickly. So it's going to be a lot. There's a lot of money in here, so no one is going to just be able to say one thing or another without a lot of discussion and debate and potentially legal issues.
Well, I tell you what, Suman, you'll have to come back and give us an update as we see this unfurl. Suman Den, ladies and gentlemen, Managing Editor for Source Media, Investment Advisory Group, and reinventwealth.com. Suman, thank you for your time today. We appreciate the update on robo-advisors.
David, thank you for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.